All right. Well, welcome to another edition of the Crossing Discussion. Crossing the, get out of your mouth. Crossing the Crescent. Yes, I am. Yep, says live. I've been live for 2 minutes. There is a delay. What's that? Okay. All right, well, let me start over. Welcome to another edition of the Crossing the Crescent Discussion Group. We are here every Sunday afternoon at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time. And we're generally here for about 2 hours. Yes, we're on the debate. Right. Yeah. Okay. How do I do that? Okay, let me hold on. I'll figure it out. Why not? I can do anything I want when I'm live. I can cancel you. Jesus versus Muhammad. Out you go. Delete. Okay, now tell me if you see it. Try refreshing. No, but I mean, all right, we're live. And we're live because it says live right here. We've been live for 3.5 minutes and accomplished absolutely nothing. Started. Yeah. Maybe not so much. Okay, so today we're going to have a debate, or we were supposed to have a debate. Let me bring up this gentleman's. I don't think there's anything that you're not allowed to see here, so let me share my screen. How do I do that again? Let's see. It says present, share screen, and what is this? This is, here we are. Okay, let me try that, share. Okay, can you all see that? Okay, all right. All right, well, let me make it bigger here. There we go. Okay, so this is from Facebook, and this is one of the groups that I post in. I posted an open debate challenge to any follower of Muhammad or anyone who thinks he was a prophet, and the topic is going to be, is the Quran a word of God? And we got 20-minute opening, 10-minute rebuttals, 10-minute cross, and then 10-minute close. And you go down here, this gentleman, Cypher, and I don't know where he's from. And I got into it. Yes, of course. Okay, we're both in Central Time Zone, he says. And then I sent him the StreamYard link today in Messenger, and then I sent it here, and I don't see him. So I don't know. Let me just say this about this guy. I mean, most of the people, virtually everybody else that replies to this message here is, they're just nasty about it. And I could go ahead and provide you a whole laundry list of examples of it, but I won't bore you with it. You guys know the deal. But this guy was just straight and to the point, and he didn't give me any mess about it. So I figured that, because he said here, well, it says right here, yes, I will come after I send him the StreamYard link. And I don't know where he is. So I don't know what to do. I tell you what, here's what we'll do. I had that other part for the show that we were going to do. We're going to do a comparison of Jesus Muhammad. And let's just do that until this gentleman shows up. Does that sound like a plan? Quit being such a pessimist. Quit being so real then. I mean, let's live in our own little world here. Okay, so let me go ahead and can I show this? Does this show up? No, that's not it. Let me go back. Stop screen share. Present. Screen share. And entire screen. There it is. Bada bing, bada boom, bada swing, swada swoom. Got it. Okay, so we are at our max, minus one. So if anybody else comes, I might have to drop a couple of you guys out if he does show up. So don't. Okay, well, if you see him come up, then, you know, I'm not going to add any more people until I'm going to give him some time to come anyway. All right, so today as we reflect on Easter and what it represents for us as Christians, you know, we spend a lot of time thinking of what a great God we worship and what he did for us. And at the same time, Muslims do the same thing during the month of Ramadan, and they're very reflective about what a great prophet Muhammad was, or supposedly was. I always have to add that in there, and I hate doing that, but I'm going to stick to my guns that I'm always going to use that qualifier when I start referring to Muhammad. I start referring to the supposed Quran, just being the word of God, and the supposed place of Mecca. Because none of them can be proven outside of Islamic literature. But what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at the difference between Jesus and Muhammad. So I've made a slideshow like I always do, and we're just going to do a side-by-side comparison. If you feel you want to comment on any of these, you just go right on ahead. All right, so first one, we have Jesus was virgin born. Muhammad, not. He didn't really know his. He didn't even know his father. I think his didn't his dad die when he was in, as before he was born. Is that true? That's right. That's right. Yeah. That's right. There's a. Yeah, it's and that comes out of a hadith. Am I correct on that? That's from the hadith literature. Well, you'll have to come to that jail that you're sitting in right now, Rad. There we go. Yeah. All right, let's go to the number two. All right. Jesus has an entire calendar patterned after his birth, after his life. Now, I know what you're saying, but Muhammad does too. This is true. But it's not based after his life. It's just based after the Hijra, or the pilgrimage from Mecca to Medina. And what was that, 621, 622, 623, somewhere around there? You do have a calendar patterned after Muhammad. Jesus died a disgraceful death, being the process of crucifixion is one of the most painful ways that somebody can be put to death. But it's also one of the most disgraceful because you're completely stripped of any clothing, and you're hung out there for everybody to come by and spit on you and, you know, do whatever they want to you as you're hanging from that cross in agony for what could be days. But then at the same time, Muhammad died a disgraceful death too, because when you think about this, he died saying he felt as if his aorta was being cut out. Well, what was that hadith that said that if anybody was a prophet or a false prophet, that God would do what to them? Was that the Quran? That's the Quran. Okay. What is the Quran number 16? Yeah. Okay, so here's what the Hadith or the Quran says. And if Muhammad had made up about us false sayings, we would have seized him by the right hand and we would have cut from him the aorta. So there you go. You have the Quran confirming that Muhammad was a false prophet. Whoops, what did I do here? I think I just did something wrong. Okay, so that was a disgraceful death. Okay, bingo. So it was what? Whoever drinks poison and kills himself with it, he will carry his poison in his hand. Yeah, well, I think that's people committing suicide is who they're talking about that one. Kills himself. Were you there in Khaibar? Exactly. All right, let's go to the next one. All right, let's see. Jesus was resurrected. He's risen indeed. Amen. Muhammad's still in his tomb. Even if that is... I don't know about that, but I would like somebody to do some forensics on that. I mean, you know, when we think about the Western mindset, I mean, think about the Shroud of Turin, just as an example. How many times, I mean, that is the most studied artifact in human history. That's compared to every other artifact out there. And so wouldn't it be more open, don't you think, that if somebody could go in there and do some forensics on the tomb of Muhammad to see if this is in fact that person, to see if I think that's his birthplace. We're talking about his body is supposed to be up in Medina. In Medina? Wow. Well, Shafi? Didn't they try to switch to, like, instead of having a 7-day work week, like having an 8-day work week or at some point? Yeah. Oh, was it French? Give it to the French. You got to love the French for doing stuff like that. All right. Let's go to the next point. Okay. So he was virgin born. He has an entire calendar, died a disgraceful death, was resurrected. Muhammad wasn't. And he ascended into heaven. Muhammad is still there. And I think, again, it would be a great discussion is to, you know, you think this is the grave of Muhammad, you know, prove it. Can you prove it? Can you provide any type of evidence? The same type of evidence that you demand from Christians? Why can't you provide those yourself? And on the Pegasus, the rock, whatever it was, yeah. Yeah. That would be a miracle. That would be a miracle if he did. Can't have camels dying. All right. Ooh. Right. Total destruction. Well, they were peeling gold out. It had gotten so hot. Fire. Yeah. All right. Okay, let's go to the next one. Let's see here. Let's see. Jesus had a direct relationship with God. Of course, being God himself, he would have this direct relationship, but he talked to God face to face. And Muhammad received messages from an angel, not God. Now, so my question is, and go ahead, Paul. That's what they say, yes. That's what I was going to ask. And I am not aware, if there is, I'm not aware of any. Most of them were inspired by God, right? But the entirety of his message was not given to him by Gabriel. It was Gabriel with him in the lion's den. Is that? That's pretty fast. All right, next one. Next. What? Yeah, where is this one here? Let's see here. Is this it? No. Mistranslated. It's in my, this is my to read. Yeah. Okay. Can we go to the next one? All right. Thank you, Rad. I appreciate you so much. All right. Let's see. Jesus never married. And I'm not saying that marrying is a bad thing at all. Of course, it's just an institution ordained by God. But Muhammad had 11 wives at the same time, which is very problematic. Anybody that thinks, right, yeah, and he's and evidently the God of the Quran prescribes up to four. I'm trying to figure out under in whose world would that be okay? I mean, whose world? It would only be in a misogynistic type culture where that would be okay. You know, when we think of Jesus ordaining marriage between one man and one woman, the book of Genesis ordains marriage as being between one man and one woman. And the only, you know, when we start looking at, you know, having all these, you know, multiple wives, that was never ordained by God. And so are you going to tell us that now after 4,600 years of theological history, that God's finally changed his mind and said, okay, gentlemen, now you can have four wives? That's absolutely crazy. That's just absolutely insane to think that this is from the same God. Yeah. Well, do I look blurry?
Am I blurry?
Do I sound choppy to you guys? Please, not sounding choppy. I'm doing it on purpose. I was just doing it on purpose. I was just making a joke. Oh, I need to behave. Okay. Yeah, I know. I'm a little punchy today. Okay, so he never married, and Muhammad had 11 wives, and we look at, you know, Muhammad's feelings about women. We're going to talk about that here in a second. Jesus performed many miracles, ranging from, you know, healing people from, I mean, it's things like leprosy, for crying out loud, and, you know, getting people that were blind to see, casting out demons. Muhammad? Nothing. Oh, wait a second. I don't have this up on the screen. Well, we're going to talk about that. So, yeah, that's a point I'm going to make here in a minute. So we have, you know, performed zero miracles. So when we're doing a side-by-side comparison, there isn't any comparison at all, other than maybe you could say, okay, you know, the calendar thing, all right, and dying a disgraceful death. But, you know, as far as the disgraceful death is concerned, that was purposeful. That was part of God's plan. And then so is his resurrection. But, of course, Muhammad is still in his tomb. Okay, Jesus never sinned in his life, and when we look at Muhammad, he had to pray for forgiveness of his sins. And I've had these conversations with them. They'll say that Muhammad was the most perfect man to ever live. Have you guys heard this before? Yeah, that's a great point, because what is bad is good, and what is good is bad. It's just kind of like today. It sounds a little, Fine, right. That's exactly what I'm talking about. It's just a world that's just upside down. And well, it's coming to a theater near you because this is. But what I'm saying though, Paul, is that regardless of where you're at in the United States, this is the type of logic, thought processes that is just starting to permeate the country, and it doesn't even hardly make the news anymore when insane stuff like this happens. It's only because we have the internet and we're able to get stories out like that, where before this would have been buried. Okay, let's go back. All right, Jesus taught love, grace, forgiveness, and tolerance. And Muhammad, well, he receives permission from God to fight those who do not believe. Now, we can recite 929 right here, I think. Let me see if I can bring that up. Where is that? Is that it? Yeah, let me go over here and bring up. What did I do with it? There it is. I got it right here, 9:28, 9:29, and it says, fight those who do not believe in Allah or in the last day, let me put this up on the screen, or in the last day, and who do not consider unlawful what Allah and his messenger have made unlawful, or do not consider unlawful what Allah and his messenger have made unlawful, and who do not adopt the religion of truth from those who are given the scripture. Fight until they give the jizya willingly and are humble. Fight. And where is it? Yeah, the religion of truth is. Well, I mean, this is where this is exactly the opposite. This is opposite world when we start talking about, you know, who was Muhammad a prophet after the pattern of Abraham, Isaac, and David, Moses, and all those other Old Testament prophets. And it's clear, it is absolutely clear when we start seeing verses like this, because this verse isn't descriptive. When you go, and this is one of the major complaints that we always find, is that, oh, in the Bible, it says there in the book of, Exodus, and, you know, or was it Numbers, sort of they go out and kill all the Amalekites, you know, down to the very last one. Well, that was descriptive, describing what God commanded the Jews to do to the Amalekites, who had been evil for centuries, who were actually sacrificing their children, fire sacrifice, burnt offerings of their own children to Baal, to Satan, for crying out loud. And then God has them destroy the Amalekites, and it's described in the Bible. But here's what it says. This is a prescriptive, let me put this back up here. This is a prescriptive injunction. It is telling you this is what you're supposed to do. Fight those who do not believe in Allah. It doesn't give you any time limit on that. Does it say fight them until what? Until what? Until they give the jizya while they are humble. I agree 100% with that. The only people getting my money is the IRS. We did our taxes yesterday, and I walked out of there. I was just numb. It's like, I'm just a teacher, for crying out loud. How can you take that much money from me? And I figured out what the problem was. No, my wife, she makes a lot of money. That's really, so I got to blame somebody for that. Okay, so we're looking at the difference in, okay, there you have Muhammad, who is prescribing to, or we should say Allah, but here you have Muhammad repeating what Allah says, evidently, that you should fight those who do not believe in Islam, do not believe that Muhammad was a prophet. And if they don't, well, then they, if they pay the jizya, then that's okay, which is, you know, the extortion tax, kind of like a mob with a god. And then, right, and on top of that, on top of that tax, you remember all those things that we went through, we've gone through the Pack of Umar several times on the show. I'm a firm believer in repeating lessons, but we've gone through the Pack of Umar several times. And I mean, you can't own a weapon. If you're a dhimmi, you can't own a weapon. You have to wear certain types of clothes. You have to cut your hair a certain type of way. You have to give up your seat to a Muslim if he wants to sit down. You have to provide them lodging if they are passing by. You cannot build your homes higher than theirs, or you cannot build your churches higher than Islamic mosques. And there's a whole set of other things that Christians are, prevented from doing as a dhimmi. So when we start talking about, you know, Christ preaching love and forgiveness and tolerance of others, this is the opposite world here. This is the opposite of what Christ taught. Okay. Amen. I'm trying to keep up here. I'm looking out for this guy, and I do not see him. He has not replied. Let's see here. Let me shoot him this message here. And 40 minutes. If he comes, sorry, oops, I did something here, and I minimized my StreamYard, sorry. Okay, go to the next one. Let's go to the next one. The next one is known as the Son of God. Jesus is known as the Son of God and God incarnate in several places in the Bible. And Muhammad is known as the Messenger of God. So which one would have a higher status of the other? I would say everything but that's okay. Which one is it? What do you mean whipped is, but is that the one that squeezed him in the Hira cave? Is that what you're talking about? Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Another two. Yeah, the encounter, and when we think of the difference between, you know, how Muhammad received his messages and how other prophets received their messages, it's not the same. And you know somebody is an imposter when they don't follow a certain pattern that everybody expects. And this is exactly what we see out of Muhammad. You know, he encounters Gabriel, and Gabriel, instead of, you know, and all the encounter. Now, what did you say, Ed, about that last thing with Daniel? What was that last thing, that last point you made? Okay, right. Okay, but you don't see somebody getting physically assaulted by an angel. The angels are normally trying. I mean, fear not is normally what the first thing's out of there. Fear not. You know, I'm an angel. I get it. Don't be afraid. I've come to bring you a message. I've come to bring you good tidings, or, you know, whatever. But they don't come in there, and they don't squeeze you into submission. So we have just, again, bizarro world upside down, the difference between these two. Jesus is pre-existent. If you go to John 17:5, he talks about sharing the glory with God before the world was. Muhammad, is existent is contingent completely upon, of course, the time, space, matter continuum that we face here in our lives. Jesus is outside of that. Jesus was outside of that. If he existed prior to the world and shared glory with God before the world was, it says in John 17:5, he's eternal. Muhammad's not. Big difference. Next one. That sounds like a good excuse. Right, yeah. Let's see here. Paul asked, were all his supposed revelations in a cave? And no. Especially some of them came to him when he was wearing Aisha's clothes. Unless he's wearing her clothes to caves, I don't. Yeah. Well, there's one where, the one revelation, well, I guess that wasn't a revelation, that was a hadith where it talks about where he was, you know, does a child resemble its parents? You know, when does a child resemble its parents? And, oh, Allah Akbar, you know, you're truly a prophet because you know that a child resembles his parents when the dad has an orgasm first or the mother has an orgasm first. We know that for sure. So no, it wasn't, all of them weren't, in the Hira cave. That was just the initial revolution. And right after that, isn't this where he runs back to Khadijah and says, cover me. I'm demon possessed or something like that. And this is where she starts her little striptease thing and says, oh, well, we know that, an angel wouldn't be in the presence of a naked woman. And this is what they thought of women back then. I mean, this is just the mindset, this culture of misogyny. It's crazy. What is that, the one that ate the Quran verses of stoning? Yeah. this is like Fido, we keep it out. It's a sheep and not a dog, because of course if there's a dog in the house, well then the angel Gabriel won't come and give you a grip. You can't make this stuff up. Okay. Okay, I'm going to mute you, Rad. Where do you go for? I appreciate the application there, the theological application to what was lost, and I know it just any well this is it, when you listen to these people, this is what's so crazy about this. This is when you try to engage them in these discussions, and we all know what the main one is. It's whether or not, you know, it was lawful for Muhammad to marry a 9-year-old prepubescent girl and consummate that marriage. And it's just crazy to listen to the excuses the ends of the earth that they will go to in order to defend those types of behaviors. And this is one of them. Well, that was the culture back then. Really? Really? What culture has a, okay, I'm not going to go there. It's just crazy. It's crazy. They ain't stealing. Where are they doing this? Oh, that. Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I was thinking Rad. Yeah. I think Rad has scarred me psychologically with this idea of having to breastfeed a grown man. Was it 5 times? I appreciate you holding back and protecting me. yeah. Could you imagine being one of them women that actually had gone through that? I mean, you feel like you've been violent. Could you imagine applying for that job? Okay. I mean, let's say you're applying for a job, all right? Let's not go there. Let's just drop it. I don't want to go there. That's just too disgusting. But if I hire you, would you be willing to... Gee, Monique, what are you, crazy? All right, here we go. Yeah, right. Yeah. We've seen a lot of job growth this year in the business. My wife can attest to that. That is just sick. That is just sick thinking. Okay. All right, here we go. What are we doing? Oops, I'm on the wrong screen. There we go. All right, last words. Jesus' last words. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. And Muhammad's last words. Now, this is kind of a stark contrast. His last words, may Allah curse the Jews and the Christians, for they built the places of worship at the graves of the prophets. You know what's really ironic about that one? Is that, I mean, look what it says. This is what it says. It says, may Allah curse the Jews and the Christians, for they built the places of worship at the graves of the prophets. Do you know what surrounds the tomb of Muhammad in Medina? It's a big old mosque. It's a place of worship. Yeah. So if you think, okay, so he's cursing the Jews and the Christians for building their places of worship around the graves of the prophets, then why did the Muslims build a mosque around the tomb of Muhammad? The irony is, the irony is just too thick. And on top of this, when we compare and contrast, okay, so you have one where Jesus is being crucified. He's being tortured by these people. And he's asking God to forgive them. And then on the other hand, in his dying breath, he's asking God to curse somebody. Can you get a contrastment? Is that a word? Can you have a better contrast of how the two are completely completely different? All right, next one. I think we're moving too slow here. I only got one more slide anyway. Jesus never owned or provided instructions to own slaves, and his commandment, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, is something that we live by or try our best to live by today. And we compare that to Muhammad enslaving people. He owned slaves, sold slaves, and of course, he raped slaves, Mary the Cop, much. And they also encouraged his followers to do that. I mean, we have that one hadith where they're asking, you know, what do we do? You know, we have all these women here, but their husbands are still alive. He's like, that's all right. Go ahead. So when we talk about the enslavement, one of the darkest stains on our nation's history, sorry, Dominic, but it was your country that forced it upon us. One of the darkest stains on our country is its history of slavery. And, you know, slavery to the average American, well, not just the average American, virtually every American is considered an abhorrent idea of enslaving another human being. Whereas if you're following the Sunnah of Muhammad here, you can enslave people, you can own slaves, you can sell slaves, you can buy slaves, and you can have harems. And this is where, when we talk about the majority of the slaves that left Africa and went east to these Arab countries, two out of every three were women. They weren't men to work or fight. They were women to serve in these harems. Whereas the complete opposite is true for the transatlantic slave trade, where two out of every three were men. And they were sent there to work. And, you know, and I'm not trying to, and again, before somebody says, oh, you're condemning or condoning slavery, transatlantic. I'm not. It's just as evil. However, these men, when they were shipped westward on the transatlantic, were expected, I mean, they were literally worked to death on these sugar plantations down the Caribbean. Their life expectancy was 2 years. You were literally worked to death, whereas these women in these harems were purposely kept alive and traded around and sold amongst each other for the sole purpose of raping. So there really isn't a comparison between the two. Go ahead. Just an indentured servitude, right? Mm-hmm. Right. And who was in charge of the West African slave trade? Right. This is where they would, right. It was the Muslims. It was, I mean, you think of the biggest slave trader of all time, Manasseh Musa, this is where he got his money. Yeah. Yeah. They're still doing. You're absolutely right. They're still doing it in Liberia, Libya, and what's the Mauritania? Is it Mauritania? They're still doing it, or is that was the last place it was outlawed? I think it was the last place it was outlawed, in like 1976. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, Chloe. Chloe's asking. Debater was a no-show. Hold on. Let me. Here's what I last wrote to him. Yep. All right, let's finish this one slide here. Got one more, I think, on here. Okay, Jesus forgave people of their sins. We read in Mark chapter 2. He's forgiving the cripple or the lame man of his sins and then healing him and allowing them to walk. And then Muhammad is completely unable to deal with the issue of sin. When we think of the issue of Muhammad sinning, he's turning sins. What he did was he turned sins into things that are not sinful. For an example, when we look at Mary the Copt, and he's having sex with her, she's raping her in one of his wives' beds, Hafsa. Isn't that the one that got really ginormous? Okay. Anyone to divorce her? Okay. So he's having sex with this woman in her bed, and he gets caught. He doesn't want Aisha to find out, so he promises, he swears to her that it'll never happen again. But then he gets another revelation. Yeah, he gets a revelation saying, "Oh, what are you doing? I've given you these women. What are you talking about? Why are you swearing to your wives? What Allah has made not legal for you, but lawful for you." Well, are you kidding me? How can you say that raping, where you're married and you're raping a slave of yours, is permissible? What kind of God would do that? Well, that's exactly what I believe Muhammad, and when we talk about his revelations, only somebody that would be making this stuff up on the go would say something like that. And that's and when we look at some of the hadiths and the things that go on in the Quran, what kind of God, 65:4, what kind of God says it's okay to marry a girl that hasn't even began to menstruate, consummate that marriage, and then divorce that little girl? Okay, let's go on. Well, it's them wanting to become God themselves. It says in the beginning, God made them male and made them female. And what they, once they're made male or once they're made female, they want to become God and make themselves something other than that. And this is just man's rebellion against, I mean, it's happened since the beginning of time. Here, this is where we have. Well, you used to be able to think about this. You used to be able to. It was called gender dysphoria. That used to be in the DSM, just like homosexuality. Okay, so if you offer a treatment for them, that, well, this is what I'm just telling you. This is the next thing that's on the chopping block. Is homosexuality was once in the DSM also. And there was treatments for it. People would go through therapy to get out of the homosexual lifestyle. Now it is illegal. It is illegal to provide people that, or at least for insurance companies to pay for that type of treatment. This is the next one. You watch. You watch. Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mitch. Yeah. Well, here. Well, I think that's on the horizon. That's something that is going to be coming down. Is the amount of lawsuits that are going to come out about this? It is evil. I mean, we need to be honest and call it exactly what it is. It is evil what they're doing to these children, or what is being allowed to be done to these children. The parents are just as reprehensible as the children themselves. Well, I don't say the children; they don't understand. The parents are the ones that. There's got to be some type of liability there for them. Yeah, it's child. Yeah, they're selling it as child abuse is what they're doing. Yeah, I agree. All right. Yeah, I agree. All right. Prayer. Jesus prayed, told us to pray from your heart. And when we look at what Muhammad taught, he said that you are to go through this ritualistic type process in order to pray to God. And so when we look at prayer, as far as how Jesus commands us to pray, he says to go in the closet and pray. Don't be seen out there in the streets where the Pharisees and the scribes, they all like to be seen by others praying and uttering all these things. And don't say repetitive prayers, but look what you're doing here. You say the same exact thing 5 times a day. Now, you might have some variance to it, but you are indeed saying the same exact things for each prayer. And that's exactly the same thing that, what's that? I'm just going to, right, that's, yeah, but and that's the thing, they make you think that it does have something. Okay, so in Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, it says, "But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." So when Jesus teaches us to pray from the heart, and Muhammad teaches you to repeat these vain repetitions, he's basically saying you're a heathen, and because they don't do anything for you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. For exactly what they are. Ed, were you going to say something, add something to that or no? I thought I heard you chiming in there. Okay. All right. And then look at the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. When you pray the Lord's Prayer, he gives you the pattern to follow. But this one right here, forgive us our trespasses or our debts as we forgive those who trespass or sin against us. That's what Jesus teaches us to do. And we are to, just as God forgives us our sins, we should be just as eager to forgive other people who have wronged us. And it's hard to do. It really is, because that is the flesh. That is, but Jesus is, being God incarnate, is above all of that. And he says, look, this is what you need to do. You need to forgive. If you yourself want to be forgiven by God, you yourself need to forgive others. And when you compare that to what Muhammad teaches here, this is, look at all these silly things. Passing in front of somebody who's praying annuls their prayers. Since when is God, how is that possible? It's a sin to pass in front of someone while they are praying. Don't raise from prayer before the imam, or God will turn your face into a donkey's face. hold on, that's coming up. Prayer rows aren't straight. The prayer is not good. If you look up during prayer, you'll lose your eyesight. If you don't perform the bowing perfectly, your prayers are not accepted. Now, this is something that would come, I mean, these are the type of things that you would, that would come directly from the traditions of paganism, what we find in paganism, all these little small rituals. And even the Jews were guilty of this when we think about the Second Temple period and all the different laws that they had. There's like 700 or 600 some odd different laws that you had to obey. And it was just, there's just no way that you could, 613, there you go, okay. That's crazy. But yet, here you have the same thing that is developed here in Islam. And this is where I think where we can clearly see where the hadith are just fabricated based on personal proclivities in prayer or things that they that they want done. So they said, well, the prophet said that if you pass in front of somebody while they're praying, your prayer will be annulled. The prophet says that if you, what is this? If you pray before the imam, or if you don't raise from prayer before the imam, God will turn your face into dust. Well, the prophet said this. So since the prophet said this, and we, so, but, I wonder if anybody's ever tested that one. Purposely gone into a mosque and, come on. I mean, the long out in the ears. Yeah. Well, okay. When we had Hatun on a while back, and she was talking about the differences in the Qurans, and one of them says, in one Quran it says that you can wipe the feet, and the other Quran says that you must wash the feet. And so I could, yeah, it sounds like a definite church split to me, where you have the church of the wiping of the feet and the church of the washing of the feet. And then you'd have all kinds of theological denominations drop out from that too. Okay. Well, there's things that people, well, there's people that hold certain things holy. They make certain things holy, and you know, you and I look at it, you know, as a bystander, think that it's absolutely ridiculous that they would say, you know, some people serve communion with grape juice instead of wine. Well, some people think that you must, right? Yeah, I mean, so if you're drinking, you know, wine during communion, how dare you? That's heretical. But you know, then you know, you get into all these arguments that you know are really frivolous, and this is. That's just a great example of, so I agree, it's just simply silly. Okay, let's go to, well, and this is where we look at, you know, some people, churches will insist that it has to be grape juice instead of wine, but and to think that wine will, since it's alcoholic, so therefore cannot be you know, used in that type of tradition. But the thing is, a lot of people don't understand, in other cultures that's the norm, to drink wine during a meal. That's what they do, that's what they serve at the kids drink the wine during. I lived in Italy and I sat there and watched children drinking wine. It's Italian children drinking wine during meals. So this isn't, you know, this is a uniquely, I would say, a uniquely American, or maybe it'd have to be like American thing, what I think it is, because of this aversion that a lot of people have for alcohol itself. Right, yeah. Well, they had beer, right, yeah. Mm-hmm. true. Okay, let's go to, we're running out of time here. I got quite a few more to go. All right, Jesus sacrificed himself for others. That his death on the cross was a sacrifice for once and for all of humankind. And Muhammad, no, he didn't sacrifice himself. What he did is he had other people killed for criticizing him. So there's a big difference between the two here. Yep. Let's see here. Oh, well, Connie, if you would have just waited, Connie, if you would have just waited. Was the fulfillment of Devin's of Bizbu prophecies. So. Okay. And then I've typed in. Go ahead, Brad. Well, it does make sense. I'll tell you in a minute why it makes sense, but go ahead and complete it. Here's my hypothesis. I think it makes perfectly good sense if you are plagiarizing it. The idea that Jesus was not crucified, that you find in 4157, comes straight from the second great treatise of Seth, which is a Gnostic writing from the Nag Hammadi, third century writing, and in that second great treatise of the great Seth, it says that Simon the Cyrene was the one that died on the cross. And when you go to look at Ibn Abbas and you go to look at Ibn Kathir, they both say in Al-Jalalayn, all three of them say that there was somebody else that died in that place. So if that tradition originated, it came from that second great treatise of the great Seth. If it was a ripoff, then you know that the purpose behind it is, number one, it was to deny, of course, the deity of Christ. But if you're ripping it off, it all makes perfectly good sense then. And that's go ahead. I was done. Yeah, what do they think it is? They believe in swoon or something, or what? Yeah. Okay, so let's get to Connie's point here. Which was that Jesus was the fulfillment of dozens of biblical prophecies. There are all kinds of prophecies that were made of Jesus, about Jesus, and that Jesus fulfilled in his lifetime and is going to fulfill in the future. Well, with Muhammad, not so much. And we've done several shows on this channel where, you know, we've talked about Deuteronomy 18:18, Isaiah, 42, Isaiah 29, Song of Solomon, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, chapter 15, chapter 16, all saying that these things that we find in the Bible are about Muhammad, when the fact is that they're nothing but a joke. And when we watched that debate a couple weeks ago between Dr. Michael Brown and I can't remember the guy's name, He basically humiliated the guy, and he wasn't even meaning to do it. He's, you know, he was very apologetic about it. He says, look, you know, I understand that your desire to do this. And if this was a debate about, you know, was Muhammad a prophet or or something along those lines, then, you know, we could have that conversation. But if your point is that these things that you are saying that are in the Bible are about Muhammad are just absolutely ludicrous. They're just absolutely nobody outside of Islam or will even, you know, address these. They're so stupid. I mean, really, Song of Solomon, 5:16, where he's talking about you are my Muhammadin. You know, which is, you know, what they call the phonic fallacy, or Isaiah 29:12, where he says, open this book, you cannot read. Well, that guy's in rebellion. Or you go to chapter 42, where you have all of this stuff going up in the north. You're naming, you know, places that, you know, that are named Kedar and Sela that are down in southern Arabia. That's true. But they're also further up north, and they have a more practical application. Or you go to Deuteronomy 18:18, where it says, you know, there's going to be a prophet like me. Well, what the heck did Muhammad ever do that was close to what Moses did? Nothing. So this is nothing but desperation. I agree with that. Just for your information, Dan Gibson is coming out with a new book. It's called The Stones Cry Out, or Let the Stone Speak, something along those lines. And it's supposed to be coming out this month. But if you go over to his website, as a matter of fact, let me just go ahead and bring that up here. Nabatea.net, I think it is. Nabatea.net. Okay, let's Google it. Nabatea.net. Dan Gibson, two A's. Okay, I probably screwed it up. Here it is. Okay, here it is. Let me drag it over here. And, oops, where did I go? Right here and right there. And you can download it today. Now, wait a second. There was a tab here that it said it was coming in April. Here it is. So print copies should be available by April 2020. Can you read that, guys? Is that? Yeah, he does great work. I sent him an email asking him to come on to the show. I don't know. I haven't heard back from him yet. He's probably thinking, I ain't going back on your show, Kaffer. You're crazy. I don't know. I can't. Yeah, he's a great guy. There you go. That was good. Yeah. We can do a review of it. That would be fun. Yeah, that would be fun. All right. Really? For what? Well, what they did do, because I tried to go out and grab that video right after the debate, I went to those sites and I tried to download it, and it wasn't there. And I sent them an email. I said, "What's up, guys? Why what are you hiding here? Are you guys embarrassed? Is your boy got embarrassed?" Yeah, it was ended right there. Yeah. Yeah. No, and that's what I was saying. He was trying to be so apologetic about it that, you know, the guy was just, you know, just silly. Nobody takes that type of stuff, you know, seriously. Okay, we got to get going, guys. All right, we got to get going. All right, so Jesus prophesied of the destruction of the Jewish temple. Muhammad provided no prophecies. So if he is a prophet, he's the first prophet to not provide any prophecies. I misspell prophecies. What are you doing? What is wrong with you? Yeah, wasn't there one where the Persians were going to be defeated or something like that? Or those aren't miracles. All right, those aren't prophecies. We're talking prophecies. Okay. Yes, okay. Jesus spoke well of women. You think of Mary and Martha. You think of the woman caught in adultery. You think of how he spoke of his mother. And then Muhammad. Muhammad said women were half as smart as men. The majority of men, people in hell were women, and women could be beaten. So you have two opposite world's views of how women are to be treated and how we're to treat them as men. And Muhammad, not so much. Any comments on that? So you could commit what we would call here in the West marital rape as a form of intimidation or as a form of Wow. Okay. I never heard that one before, but that, yeah, John's great people. Okay. Let's see here. Jesus taught just 3.5 years, and his teachings are almost universal worldwide. Muhammad, he taught for 22 years, and we still don't know if he was an actual historical figure. I don't want to go too far down that rabbit hole there, but when we start talking about the historicity, Paul. Is Paul here? Did Paul leave? Paul left. I'm going on. The historicity of Jesus himself versus that of Muhammad, it's not comparable. It's the same thing with places in where he taught and where Muhammad taught. These are not historically known places. Demonstrated through archaeology or through any other form of the sciences. Okay, let's see here. Jesus is God incarnate. We believe that Jesus is God in human form. Muhammad was a man who is now dead. And I think we kind of discussed that one before, so I don't want to get into that one. Jesus raised... What am I doing here? Come on. Thank you. Yep, Psalm 22. Yeah. Proto-evangelion or evangelion, yeah. Okay, this one, Jesus raised people from the dead. Muhammad killed people and he had people killed. So you have one person raising people from the dead to demonstrate his authority on earth, and the other one is killing people and having people killed to demonstrate his authority on earth. Think about that one just for a second and let that sink in. Because when we, that's right. Yeah, you can go. Well, that's fine with me. It's your opinion. No. Yeah. And so when we think about what people do today, when we, Charlie Hebdo, I mean, one of the most famous terrorist actions in the last five, well, how long ago was that? That's been a while. How long was Charlie Hebdo? It's been quite a while. Yeah, it's been a while. But here they, have a newspaper that is mocking Muhammad. So what do these guys do? Follow the Sunnah, where Muhammad had people killed for mocking him. So what do these guys do? They go out and they kill these people at the newspaper for mocking Muhammad. Big difference. Well, they let's see. Okay, so it's been 8 years. January 7th, 2015 was when this attack happened. So that's 8 years ago, for crying out loud. My, how time flies. But yeah, and this is a form of intimidation or trying to intimidate. I think Ed mentioned earlier going out and praying in public, taking over entire city streets or areas of town and having these, and praying. Not only is that, trying to show their piety, where we read in the book of Matthew in chapter 6 that you're not supposed to do that, but it's also to show their dominance, as you're saying here, Sharon, they're trying to intimidate you into submission. And this is just one of the ways that they show their strength, is where they get out there and they start. What are you saying here, Kufar? Phobia? I said 3 p.m. When did I say 3 p.m.? What are you talking about? He was in a debate, I think. He sent me a message. He said he was in a debate on Clubhouse or something. I guess when people debate him, they actually show up. Now, I could sit here and puff my chest and say, oh, he's afraid of me. He can't even. He probably didn't have the right. They don't let? Well, they never show up. I've had, I don't know how many debates I've tried to schedule on this show, and none of them come. I'm not all that in a bag of chips when it comes to debating. I know that. So I don't know what their deal is or what they're afraid of. I guess. Yeah, right. Well, and then the thing is, I don't want to. It gets to the point where it turns into a shouting match a lot of times there, and I don't want to be part of that. Can I say something? I don't want to be part of that. But I appreciate it. I've been trying more to say things in back channel and then to request to be brought up via back channel. But I'm not, or not back channel. Where they have the chat. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, the chat. Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's, and because it's something, well, okay. Sometimes you get in there and you want to say something, and then by the time that it gets to you, it's, so they're already, gone into five different other subjects too. So it makes it kind of hard. Yeah. Okay. So Jesus raised from people to the dead. Muhammad made them dead. Next one, and this is where we end, when we read what the Bible says. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Who did he love? He loved the world. That's everybody. God loved everybody. God loves everybody. And when we get over here to Muhammad, Surah 98:6, indeed, they who disbelieved among the people of the scripture, that is Christians and Jews, and the polytheists will be in the fire of hell, abiding eternally therein. And then what does it say? They are the worst of creatures. So, creatures, worst of creatures, there it is. What's that? I had this brought up. Let me go over here. Well, this is what folklore is. And when we look at the Gnostic writings, a lot of that is folklore is what it is. And it's found its way into the Quran. And this is, many people at the time had heard these stories before, but now they're getting a different spin on it. And this is why you had so many times people are telling Muhammad, oh, these are just the tales of ancients. You know, we've heard this before. You know, you're just retelling the same old story. Who do you think you are? Huh? Who are you? Shut up. Be dead. And kill you for, you know, accusing him of that. But we know today where we can actually do scholarship, and this is the most wonderful thing of being alive today, is that we can sit down and research these things, and we don't have to go into some library and go through, you know, you ever do the microfiche film? You ever do that before? I mean, it's just disgustingly laborious, and you go through those big books of trying to find it. You know, we can just type it into, oh my goodness, guys, there was a program that I was introduced to this week. Let me see, where is it? I'm going to show you this. This is scary stuff. This is artificial intelligence stuff. Red, you're probably familiar with this. This is ChatGPT. Right, yeah, okay. So I'm going to start calling it ChatDemi, because I'm going to give you an example of this. Watch. Oh, whoops, wrong one. What did I do here? I need to share my screen again. I think I stopped sharing my screen. Let me give you, window ChatDemi. Here we go. ChatDemi. All right. You can't see my screen. Let me make it bigger, and I'll make this bigger for you. Okay. So down here at the bottom, you chat in whatever you want to chat about or you want to find out about. Okay. So let's say, let's put down evils, just something something generic about Islam. What would be if you're searching for something critical of Islam, what would be something good to put in there? The list, the pedophilia of Muhammad. Okay, now watch what happens here. Okay, AI language cannot make false or defamatory statements. It is important that accusations of pedophilia are controversial topic. All right. However, it is not appropriate to make them. Watch it. Is this subject a potentially harmful statement? Islam, like any other religion, has been interpreted in practical various ways. Stop generating. What do you mean?
Wow.
Yeah. Connie, you're going to get me banned from the site. Yeah. Okay. Oh, I didn't. It says stop generating, regenerate response. Oh, okay. Here we are. Come on. It's like we're... You know what this is like? Is like sitting at home playing that Ouija board, you know, when you're a kid. Ask it to do this. I don't know. I'll probably have FBI agents announcing. Okay, we'll do a show. Okay, guys, we'll do a show on this in the future. but I just was shown this last Friday. No, Thursday, we were having a meeting with my other fellow teachers. We were doing collaboration. And the one guy said, look, I wrote a 9-page essay last night on the assassination of John F. Kennedy. And we're sitting there reading it. I said, that's pretty good, man. And he had all this, he had all the MLA citations there, or maybe it was AP. I can't remember which one he used. And it was just really well done. And he says, it took me 15 minutes to do it. And I'm like, what? And he goes, watch this. And he brought up this program here. And I'm like, holy crap. That's crazy. Well, we'll make that for a future show, and we'll figure it out. Okay, I got to run, folks. I appreciate everybody coming today, and I tell you how disappointed I am that our friend didn't show up. I was really eager to do this debate, but I'll be in contact with him, and we'll see if maybe we can reschedule it from sort of. We'll see. What is this? The YouTube? What is this? Hold on. Stop. What is this? Is it a dog? Okay. Is that what it is, Ed? A dog? Okay. What? Oh my gosh, this is crazy. All right, so long. You people are so, give me a second. You people are too demanding. How do I do this? All right, bring it over here. And what happened to my, oh, here we are. It's down here in the bottom. All right. Stop screen share. All right, present. Share screen. Share tab audio windows. And all right, let's do this again. Tell me if you can hear it. Well, why not? Stop screen. Excuse me. Present. I'm sorry. Allergies season. What's this called? YouTube. Here it is. Okay. Could you hear it? Okay, there's something mentally wrong with that guy. Absolutely. Yeah, that's funny. Yeah. All right. That big dog of yours? Yeah, I don't know. That's that dog's a little too big. All right, guys, I got to call it quits. I got to go. So you. What was that, in Clubhouse today? Is that where you were at, John? Oh, that's right. Yeah. For today, yeah, that's how these guys got here. But there's two of them. Well, I only posted one on Skype, and I posted one in Messenger. All right. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and this is why today is such a wonderful day. It's the most important day on the Christian calendar. And Paul tells us that I think it's in 2 Corinthians, it's in Galatians. He tells us that if Christ not be crucified and Christ not be raised, we are the ones to be the most pitied. But today we remember that the resurrection of Jesus has given us that freedom, has given us this freedom of being free from the wrath of God and his punishment, because Jesus took that for us. Now, I know people say, oh, he's saying he got permission slip to sin. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. But we are no longer burdened with that, and we have this blessed assurance because of what Christ did for us. He died, he bled, and he rose again. And let us all be thankful for that. God bless you all. Thank you for coming, and we will see you next week on The Cross and the Crescent. Okay, I honestly got to go, folks. God bless you. We'll see you next week.